know that shit stinks. I know his pH balance is so whack. Hello, and welcome back to Super Hell, aka the Mystery Spotcast, a show where two recovering Supernatural fans subject themselves to a rewatch, so no one else ever has to watch Supernatural again. My name is Ollie, I use any pronouns, and you can find me on social media at Ollie Fresh. It's fresh with a PH.
And my name is Claudia, my pronouns are she, her, and you can find me on social media at Kaludia Says, K-A-L-U-D-I-A Says. Today is our two-part season two finale. Mm-hmm. Everybody clap, we did it. We got there. We guys, were not, like...
We did it.
I don't know how we did it, but we did it. We will not be discussing the Winchesters this week because we have something very special planned for the finale of the Winchesters next week. So, Winchesters Nation, stay tuned.
Yeah, rest assured, it's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
But we've really gotten into the era of Supernatural where there's like plot happening.
Yeah, when it was good.
Yeah, when the plot was worth when the plot was worth literally anything.
Yeah, and I like when these episodes started, I was like, "Damn, this is the classics." Mm-hmm. This is where it's at. Like, this is, I remember watching this for the first time and like I cried. Like, it was,
yeah. I damn. Think the other thing too about like this time and this sort of era is that it really is when the grander world starts to get fleshed out. Like, there's a lot of sort of separate little things, and there's a lot of like monster of the week situations, and there's still plenty of that like throughout the entire series, but this is when they start having like an overarching bad guy who's not just like, I'm gonna show up in one episode and be fucked up and evil and then be gone for the rest of the season. This is also really when there's like the boys are really going through something that they have to deal with every step along the way, so it's very exciting to me.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked a little bit about Dean's, like, you know, he's going through his deconstruction arc. Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of the Winchesters, we have what I like to call John Winchester's one moment of slay in this finale.
We have John Winchester, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, John Winchester's one moment of slay versus, again, Drake Rogers, John Winchester, continuous slay.
And he's not so always slaying, but like he's slaying pretty consistently.
It's a continuous slay. It's not all the time, but every, you know, it's continuing.
Yeah. I will also say very interesting because we've been getting a lot of like lore about Mary and the Winchesters and stuff that I remembered. And I remember when they time travel with Castiel, mm-hmm. and there's a whole shit with the yellow eyed demon. I forgot. Because in this episode, this is a two-part finale called All Hell Breaks Loose Part 1 and 2. In this finale is when we find out that Mary knows who the yellow-eyed demon is. Mm-hmm. And I went, wait a minute, I'm connecting the dots.
No, it's so...
I'm connecting the dots. Because...
It's so crazy how much the Winchesters ties into, like, the episodes that we are actively watching. It's so strange.
Yeah, I feel kind of sick in the head from this. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's not focus too much on the Winchesters. I think we need to give the girlies context for what we are talking about. I think that you all would like to hear about the vibes.
Yeah. Let's see. Part one, the cold open for this episode is also very iconic. Like, I immediately recognized it. I was like, oh, the little mini diner, shit.
I remember watching this episode being like, what was I, probably like 15-ish. I remember watching this episode and being like, my jaw is on the ground the entire time. Like, this episode, I recall with this very upsettingly stunning clarity.
Yeah, yeah. I think also because it has like a very different vibe than the rest of the show, whatever. It's popping the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
So in our opener, we have Sam and Dean. It's nighttime. They pull up to this like tiny diner. It's literally like a trailer on the side of the road. And Dean, this is also one of Dean's iconic lines about pie is in this as well. Dean's like, I'm gonna, you know, just crank the music. And he's like, get me some pie, get me something, whatever. And Sam leaves. And he looks through the window and there's like several people inside, and suddenly the radio gets like really staticky and starts to fade out, and then Dean looks back at the window and then there's nobody inside the diner. And he's like, oh, shit. And he rushes in and he finds all these people. They're covered in blood. They're dead. They're all over the place in the kitchen, in the whatever. Everyone's dead. And he's like, what the fuck? And also, Sam is gone. Sam, who just went in to get food. Sam is gone. And he's looking around. He's looking around. And then he's like, wait a minute. And he notices a trace of sulfur on the window. And he's like, fuck, a demon's been here. Shit.
This is funny because what this, like, I feel like throughout this season, because in the beginning of in the beginning of Supernatural, in like season one, and honestly up until pretty recently, the idea that demons were real was very novel to Sam and Dean, and even to Bobby, who was like, yeah, I have a little bit of lore on it, but like, you know, yeah. It was kind of debatable if any of this worked or if this was even real. But they really went really fast from being like, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe this is not real, maybe this is all whatever, to being like, this is real and we have a lot of information about it and we know exactly what signs to look for. And it's very funny to me.
You're like, okay.
I'm just thinking back to in the episode where they're on the plane.
Oh my
thinking
God.
Thinking about how they were fighting for their lives, trying to determine if that was a demon and how to exorcise it.
And like, and it's just funny, like the contrast between that and then we have this, and then we have like in later seasons where they're like, eh, fuck it. We got like knives, angel blades, whatever that can kill demons. Anyway, meanwhile they're like fighting for their fucking lives with like exorcisms and sulfur and fucking the cult in these early seasons, and later on they're like, oh, a demon, fuck them. Like it's
no, the dramatic shift from being like, are demons real? No, certainly not. To now being like, we've basically got it down to a science, guys.
So yeah, Dean is like, oh, sulfur. And then he runs outside. He's like, Sam. And he's like yelling. And you're like, oh my God, King, what's going on? We cut to Sam awakening in the dirt in a deserted pioneer town. And they make this joke, but it's like he transported into fucking Frontierland and Disneyland. Like it's... And it's deserted. Here, I'm going to make a reference that maybe even Ollie might not get. For some reason, when I watch this, because I watched this when I was in college, the vibes that this gave me, and especially knowing what happens with the plot later on, are there was this reality show. It was only for one season because it was highly unethical and probably illegal, called Kid Nation.
What the fuck?
Do you not know this? Do you not know about Kid Nation?
No, I've never heard of that.
People have been talking about it recently because the kids who were on it, because it was in like 2007 or something. The kids who were on it are now grown up and have talked about it on TikTok. It was this reality show because like survival reality shows were really big. You know, you got Survivor.
Yes. I think I do know this.
They took a bunch of kids aged like 6 to 12. And then drop them in like a fucking pioneer town in the desert. And then they were like, you have to survive here for like a month.
No, they basically did like a, oh my gosh, what is the book called?
They did Lord of the Flies?
Yeah, Lord of the Flies. Thank you.
They were like, yeah. And what if we did Lord of the Flies with children on TV? And I don't know. You know what? I'm going to look. Was this during the writer's strike?
That is serving writer's strike realness.
It was in 2007.
Yeah, okay.
It was officially canceled by CBS after one season. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the writer's strike did spawn literal child labor. Much like how with Squid Game they are trying right now to make like a real Squid Game version. It's not like The Hunger Games. It was like we have to survive, and it was like these kids were being like they were being mistreated. Like it was and nowadays like if you look up Kid Nation survivors or whatever on TikTok, you'll hear like the craziest stories. I remember watching this, my mother was obsessed with this because it's so fucked up. And so when this I watched this episode, I was like, why is this giving Kid Nation?
Shut up, this is like Kid Nation except all the kids are 23.
Yeah, no, literally.
I think that's just like Survivor. Well, that's not what really what Survivor's about. This episode is kind of like Big Brother.
It is kind of like Big Brother, yeah.
It's kind of like Big Brother, but like the season that Andrew Tate was on. Like, they are getting evicted for being problematic.
It's that one season of Survivor where they were in Australia and somebody almost died, so they could, like, they always had to have it on an island from then on. I know this is such a tangent, but I had to talk about Kid Nation. So he wakes up in this ghost pioneer town, and he's like, there's nobody around. There's no cell signal. He's walking around all these buildings. There's nobody around. He hears footsteps, and he's like, shit. And he goes to attack this person. And guess who he sees? Andy. Now, let's remind ourselves, who is Andy? Andy is from a previous episode. He was one of the other kids like Sam, now an adult. His power was that he can make people do things just by, like, talking to them. And he was kind of the stoner who lived in the van who got everything that he wanted. And he's, like, kind of a fucked up little guy. And he's the one who, he had a twin, and his brother was also fucked up, and his brother died. So Andy is there and is like, ah, I could have dropped my croissant. And and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, where are we? And Sam's like, I don't fucking know. And he's like, what's the last thing you remember? And he's like, I was super high, I'm not gonna lie, but I did smell something weird. And he's like, did it smell like sulfur? And he's like, yeah. He's like, oh my god.
That was iconic, because he was literally like, what's the last thing you remember? He's like, I'm not gonna lie, dude, probably like my, like, 10th bong rip. Like for real, that was, like, almost verbatim what he said.
It was very funny. And then they hear, like, screaming, like, coming from one of the buildings, and they're running around, they're trying to find it, and they're one of the doors is locked, and they break in, and guess who's there? Ava from the previous episodes. Yeah.
Girl boss, slay queen.
Yeah.
Every word.
Our slay girl boss, Ava. She was the one who, I think her power was also visions.
Yes. She was in an episode where she had a vision of Sam getting, like, killed by, like, vampires, I think.
Yeah, like, sought him out because she had a vision about him.
She had a vision about him, and then that was also an episode where, like, Gordon was like, girl, I need to kill Sam because he's fucked up and crazy and, like, a monster. And then Dean was like, I'm gonna kill Gordon, but then didn't.
And then
it was one of those episodes.
Yeah, and then at the end of the episode, they're like, okay, you're saved, even though you're one of these special people. And then we find out that, and then she goes missing and her family is killed. And so Sam and Dean have been trying to find her.
Her fiance is killed, specifically.
Her fiance is killed. And Sam and Dean have not been able to find her. And he's like, Ava, where have you been? We've been looking for you. She's like, I don't know where I am. And she's like, one minute I was coming home with my fiance and now I'm here. And Sam's like, it's been 5 months. And they're all really freaked out. And she's like, I woke up a half an hour ago. What the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, oh my God, like, my fiance is going to be so worried about me. And Sam's like, now is probably not the time to tell her that her fiance was killed in cold blood. Probably not. And he's like, shit, all three of us are the special children. And then he hears another voice. They find two more people.
This is like the Avengers coming together.
No, literally, it's more like the Suicide Squad. No, so basically they find there's a man in an army uniform, and then there's, okay, the wiki says a young girl. They're all the same age, and then a young woman.
I mean, I guess, like, technically they're all young people. Like, she is a young woman. That's not wrong.
The wiki also says appears to be goth. No, she doesn't. She's just dressed like it's the early 2000s. She's not goth at all. So they're introducing themselves, and then they're like, what are we doing here? Who are you people? And the woman's name is Lily, and she's like, I don't know. I was just in San Diego. And Jake is like, well, I was in Afghanistan, and now I'm here. So what the fuck? And Sam's like, okay, let me take a wild guess. You both are 23. You have weird abilities that you cannot explain and you can't tell anybody about. And he's like, for me, example, I have visions and I see things before they happen. And Ava's like, yeah, that happens to me too. And Andy's like, yeah, I can put thoughts into people's heads and I can make them do stuff. And lately I've been practicing and I can, like, project things into people's heads. And there's this one guy who is super annoying. And so I projected, like, gay porn in his head all day. And everyone's like, girl, TMI.
Why are you thinking about gay porn? Why is that your first response?
Why are you, as a man, I'm just thinking, and I was like, sir, his coping mechanisms are questionable, but you know, good for him, I guess.
I love him. If there's one thing about me, it's that I love Andy.
Andy, he's slaying. And Lily is like pissed off, and she's like, well, I guess that's cool. However, this is now we have our little X-Men moment where Lily's like, well, that seems cool, but whenever I touch someone, their heart stops and they die. So glad you all have been having a good time, but this sucks for me. And Sam's like, okay, well, we have to stick together and figure out what's happening. Like, clearly we are all here for a reason. And Andy's like, okay, who brought us here? And Sam's like, okay, so big news. It is a demon who brought you here. And they're all like, girl, a demon? Those aren't real. And he's like, terrible news, they are.
Yeah, Sam is like, guys, it's a demon. And they're all like, are you fucking stupid? For real? Be fucking for real. Yeah. Are you dumb? Are you an idiot?
I think Ava at one point is like, okay, I understand like visions and spoon bending and shit, but demons? Be so fucking for real. We cut now to Dean and Bobby, who are like frantically looking for Sam. They are driving all over there, whatever. And Bobby's like, there has been nothing. No signs of demons. There's no trace, whatever. Dean's phone rings and it's Ash. Shout out to our autistic king. And he's like, hey, I've got info. It's bigger. It's bigger than anything you've ever seen. And it's going to help you. But I can't tell you over the phone. It's not safe. And Dean's like, what? And he's like, just get to the roadhouse as fast as possible. And Dean and Bobby are like, okay, we're going to go. We're going to go. We come back to the ghost town and Sam is like, so basically we're all soldiers fighting in a demon war to bring on the apocalypse. Big news. And everyone's like, what? Jake, who is the soldier who was in Afghanistan, is like, you know what? This is crazy. I'm going off on my own. And he goes around the corner and sees this like freaky looking girl in the window of this like schoolhouse. And he walks in and like on the chalkboard is written like, I will not kill, like a bunch of times. And he turns around, the girl like fucking jump scares him. And at the last second, Sam saves him by taking a cast iron rod and like hitting her with it, which it's iron. I was like, I thought iron was for ghosts, not demons, but okay. And Sam's like, okay, so did everybody see that? That's a demon. And I was like, I didn't know some demons were like freaky looking little girls, but okay.
Yeah, this is like before Supernatural figured out entirely what its demon lore was gonna be.
Yeah.
So it's like they're just kinda like fucked up evil ghosts, except for when they're not.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's in a cherry, it can materialize its own form without the need of a vessel, and it usually takes the form of a little girl. And Sam's like, Sam looks over and there's this bell in the town square, and he's like, wait a minute, I recognize this. And he's like, shit, I know where we are. We're in this town. It's called Cold Oak, South Dakota. I have seen it in the lore, whatever. And it's a town that was so haunted that every single resident left. And it's been abandoned for, like, a really long time.
Which, I'm sorry, is so funny. Because imagine being like, guys, this town is so haunted. We gotta get the fuck out of here. Let's just all move.
Yeah.
Let's just all leave.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go.
I love that. Lily, the girl, was like, yeah, so if I touch somebody, they die. She's like, okay, so we need to leave. And they're all like, okay, but you have to walk through, like, miles of woods. And she's like, and we're going to stay here in the most haunted town in America? And Sam's like, the best thing we could do is stick together. And she's like, well, you guys don't understand me because what I have is a living fucking curse. And then, shout out to the LGBT, she's like, yeah, I accidentally touched my girlfriend and she died. And Sam,
yeah, a win is a win. A win is a win. We get this is like, I believe, like our first canonically lesbian? Yeah, I think this is our first gay character on Supernatural.
No, I think we've had a gay man before.
I don't think so.
The fact that we didn't keep track of that
is it's so kind of terrible. Embarrassing. But regardless, I feel like she's, at the very least, I feel like she's got to be the first one that's, like, named and is, like, actually important to the plot.
Yeah. Sam does his very, like, well, I can empathize. I've lost people too. And I'm like, and you're not of the LGBT community, Sam. Sam goes, speak, Valentina. Ally.
No, okay. Also, Sam is like, no, I get it. My girlfriend's dead. And I'm like, Sam.
No, no. It's mention his girlfriend. He mentions his brother who's alive.
Oh, yeah. No, but he says, what I mean is like, he's like, oh, I've lost people. And I'm like, both okay. of whom, like, girl, you did not do that. Like, it's. I know that it's like there's commentary on like, oh, Sam kind of blames himself for a lot, but I'm like, girl, it's not your struggle. Read the room.
Like, no, I fear he's like, I'm just trying to empathize. And everyone's like, girl, be so quiet. And he's like, we have to stick together. And she's like, okay, fine. So they go inside this house and they're like, we're going to look for some supplies and we're going to like barricade ourselves in against these demons. We're going to find iron. We're going to find salt. We're going to like figure it out. Before they go in the house, Lily, the one who touches people and they die, she breaks away from the group and she goes in the woods. She's like, fuck it, I'm leaving. And she hears all these noises and things running around, but she keeps going. We cut back to Dean and Bobby, who arrive at the roadhouse. Except the roadhouse has been burnt down to a crisp.
It's literally like, it's like comical. It's like a pile of ash.
Oh my God, speaking ash. Of. Speaking of. They're like, what the fuck? There is no trace of Ash or of Ellen. And they're like, we can't find them. And then Dean finds a charred body with Ash's watch on it and is like, oh my God, Ash died.
Fuck you, Supernatural.
Killing Ash off screen. The LGBT community lost that day. We lost.
And we never forgave.
Like... But they're like, we can't find Ellen. Also, where's Joe? But like, okay.
Well, Joe doesn't live there at the time. Remember, Joe had gone off to.
Yeah, I guess.
Live her life.
We cut back to Lily, who's in the woods, and she hears this like little girl laughing, and she's like, uh-oh, and she keeps walking. We cut back to Sam. He finds like a hunting knife in a chest. And my thing was like, and why is there a knife here? You'll find out why later. This is a mask tool we'll use for later. He turns around and he sees Ava and she's like has a really bad headache. She's like rubbing her head, whatever. And he's like, oh, are you okay? And she's like, I'm just really freaked out. And like, I think I'm hungry. And Andy comes in and he's like, I found bags of salt. Yay. And they're like, great. We can line the house with this. And then Sam's like, where's Lily? And then they hear the laughing of a young child. They go outside and Lily is dead and hanging from the windmill outside, very morbidly. And they're like, shit, we got to get out of here. And Sam and Jake are like, no, that's what happens to people who try to leave. We're fucked.
So sorry, LGBTQ community.
We won we lost.
We had a win. Only a slight win. And even then, it wasn't really a win.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, fuck, okay, we need to like arm ourselves, I guess. So Sam is walking with Andy and he's like, I really wish I could get in touch with Dean. Like he would know what to do. And Andy's like, okay, hold on. I might be able to. I could try to use my power to project things into people's minds with Dean. I've never done it with somebody who's really far away. Like, do you have anything that Dean has like touched or like anything he owns? Sam pulls out this receipt that Dean signed as D. Hasselhoff. And he's like, be so fucking for real. But he's like, okay, I can do it. And he's like, all right, I'm going to send a vision to Dean's head if I can. It says we cut back to the roadhouse, the ruins of the roadhouse. And Dean and Bobby are like going back to their cars. And they're like, is Ellen alive? What did Ash know? Where is Sam? And then Dean gets this like crazy bad headache and he starts to like fall and he has this vision and he sees this large bell with an oak tree engraved in it and he sees Sam for like a hot second and he's like, I just have a really bad headache and I think I saw something. And Bobby's like a vision? And he's like, no, like that doesn't happen to me. That happens to Sam. And he's like, what did you see? And he's like, I saw a bell and I saw Sam. And Bobby's like, what was on the bell? And he's like, oh, a tree. And Bobby's like, I know where that is. I'm like, how do you all know where that is?
Because, I mean, it's in South Dakota. Bobby's a Dakota boy.
So they're like, oh my God, I know where that is. It's that super haunted town. And they go back. We cut back to now we have Sam and Jake, and they're trying to make like iron weapons out of like random shit that they find. And Jake is like, yeah, so my ability started with like headaches. And then I saw this guy like flip a truck, and he was got pinned underneath it. And I lifted it off of him, and I bench pressed like 800 pounds. And I could never really tell anybody about it. So he has like super strength. And he's like, you know, thank you for like being helpful and like being the voice of reason for everybody. He's like, but like, how are you doing? Because like, I know what you're going through right now. I've seen it on a lot of guys because he's a soldier in Afghanistan. And Sam's like, this conversation, I felt many things here where Sam's like, yeah, it's always my brother who's like, I'm going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. Whatever. I'm going to watch over you. Everything's going to be okay. But he's like, I don't know if I believe that that's going to happen this time. Like, there's something really big and bad coming. And that line did make me laugh because I was like, oh, I'm sure Chuck writing this thought that was so funny. Considering the bigger and badder things that come later. It's just so funny to me. He's like, damn, this is bad. I'm like, oh, remember when y'all fought God?
Like, baby, it gets so much worse.
You are literally just a tiny baby right now. Like, it's you are in your fucking larva stage. It's so dark. Later in the evening, Sam and Ava, they're like lining the doors with salt. And Ava is like choking about her horoscope, whatever. And she's like, oh, like, do you know about my fiance? And Sam's like, hey, so bad news. I don't really want to be the one to tell you this, but when you were taken, the demon killed your fiance. And she's like, oh my God. And she starts fucking crying. We cut to later that evening. Sam is like keeping watch. He's like trying to stay awake. He closes his eyes for like a second, and he opens them, and the fucking yellow-eyed demon is standing, Azazel himself is standing by the front door, and he's like, ah, and he's like, oh shit, I'm dreaming, because Jake is there, but he's not responding, and the demon is like, come take a walk with me, and he does it, and they're walking outside, and the demon's like, so, how's it going? And Sam's like, I'm gonna fucking kill you, bitch. And the demon's like, okay, well, give it your best shot when you wake up, sonny boy. And he's like, so, I don't actually need soldiers, plural. I need one soldier. This is actually a competition to prove who's the smartest. And you are the horse that I've been betting on. You're my favorite.
Not just the smartest, but the best hashtag leader.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a hashtag leader.
Which is, knowing what we know about what the purpose is, I get it now. I get it. Spoiler alert. It's being the vessel for Lucifer. You know. Satan, the king of hell. He's like, I'm looking for somebody with leadership qualities, and this is an interview. And it's very cutthroat. It's like interviewing at Google, but worse. No, tech bro Sam Winchester back at it again.
Do you think, I mean, to be fair, in Supernatural, is hell not just Google HQ, but worse?
I mean, Crowley does, like, organize it to the point where it is, like, the fucking corporate hell. So,
I mean, like, that's literally what it is. No, because I feel like Crowley would gotten a fucking kick out of workplaces where you can just kind of, wait, you can wear whatever you want here, but are run so toxically and everyone hates each other and is in a polycule. He would love that.
He runs hell, and he's like, yeah, we have a beanbag room.
No, literally, he's like, oh no, you're tired of waiting in this endless line and of constant HR violations? How would you feel about wearing pajama pants to work?
We have unlimited PTO. If you take it, well, there will be consequences, but it's unlimited.
Oh, wow.
He's like, the worst stage of hell is actually being a permalancer. You're a contractor without health insurance. That's purgatory. Anyway, we were getting ahead of ourselves talking about Crowley. I'm just thinking about him because of the Winchesters. Anyway, spoilers for the Winchesters.
God, I miss my baby girl so much.
So baby girl.
No, Crowley is really baby girl.
They were like, you know what? We got to introduce a man who's a little fucked up and wild. We'll get to him.
Mm-hmm.
So the demon Azazel is like, yeah, so you're my favorite little bestie girl, and only one of you will survive and be the soldier from this generation. And Sam's like, oh, there's been multiple generations. And he's like, that's an Oscar tool we'll use for later. And Sam's like, oh, who is a soldier leading? And he's like, oh, an army, it's been assembled. And Sam's like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry, Claudia just gave the funniest little face and a thumbs up to the camera. Just like, great. The army has been assembled.
And Sam's like, you ruined my life. You killed everybody I know. And the demon's like, oh, well, what was the cost of doing business? And he's like, well, Jessica had to die. Otherwise, you would have married her and become a tax lawyer. Lore drop, he would have been a tax lawyer. That's why he doesn't know criminal law.
No, but that's also like so categorically false compared with everything we have seen from it. Like, he would not have been a tax lawyer.
Yeah, you're just fucking wrong, Azazel.
And no, you stupid fuck.
He's very specific. He's like, you would have been a tax lawyer with two kids and a little McMansion in the suburbs. And I couldn't have you like getting fat and lazy. I needed you. And I was like, damn, bitch. And I was like, I needed you sharp and training with your brother. And she had to go. And Sam's like, okay, well, then why did you kill my mom? And he's like, actually, that was just kind of, like, bad luck. She was just, like, kind of there when she wasn't supposed to. Like, actually,
God, that's so fucked up.
I was like, considering all the things that Mary Winchester has survived, both in Supernatural canon and in the Winchesters, I was like, damn, bitch, really? It was an accident?
No, literally. I'm like, girl.
And he's like, let me show you a little play-by-play replay. And he shows basically one of the scenes that we've seen before from another POV. And Sam's like, oh my God, why are you feeding me? Look, it's me as a baby.
It's the scene. It's like literally the scene from like the first episode where they're like, good night, Sammy. Then like John and Mary leave the room and Sam's in his crib. And then
there's this man and he's feeding baby Sam his blood. And Sam's like, does that mean I have demon blood in my veins? And Azazel's like, wouldn't you want to know? Anyways, that's a mask tool we'll use for later. And he's like, and then his mom walks in. She's like tired. She's like not looking right. She thinks that the man standing there is John. And she's like, hey, like John, has he gone back to sleep yet? Whatever. And she like starts to walk out or whatever. And the demon's like, yeah, it wasn't about her. It was all about you, Sam. She just like happened to walk in. Mary walks back out into the hallway, but then she hears the TV downstairs, which means that John is downstairs. And she goes downstairs and he is sleeping in front of it. And she's like, oh my God. And she runs upstairs and she's like, so who is this man here? The demon turns around revealing the yellow eyes. And then she's like, oh, it's you. This is her first acknowledgement. Like I said earlier, that she knew who he was. And then she starts getting dragged up the ceiling. And we know what happens then. And Sam, and this is probably Sam's first time having to see it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Whatever.
I think so.
And Sam's like, oh my God, you're going to make me watch my mother die. And the demon's like, anyways, you don't have to see this. At least he spared his poor little mind. And then Sam wakes up. And Jake is shaking him. And he's like, Ava's missing. And Sam and Jake, they go outside of the like rickety shack that they were in, and they're like, shit, we gotta find her. She's outside of the like salt circle that we made. And what they don't notice is that she is lurking behind a nearby building. Then we see Andy. He walks around and inside the house and he finds Ava. And he sees her. She breaks the line of salt on the windowsill. And he's like, hey, like, everybody has been calling for you, like, whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, I heard them. And then she just kind of looks at him in a fucked up way and puts her hand against her temple, kind of like she did when she had the headache. And this black demon smoke comes in through the window now that the circle has been broken, and this that little demon girl comes up and kills Andy.
Slits his throat. It's like really it's very graphic. Bloody. Like,
you're like, damn.
I feel like we definitely have stuff that's like graphic on Supernatural, like, but I don't know why this one just struck me. Maybe because it's someone we know. Like, it's not just some rando. It's like, yeah. Oh, it's Andy. That's my friend.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Damn, bitch. R.I.P. Andy, you will be missed.
No, literally, Andy was such a breath of fresh air. Like, I love characters like Andy.
He's just a little man. He's just a little guy.
No, he is.
We
he
don't
is
have
such
a guy like
guy.
Him until, like, Kevin.
Maybe yeah.
Garth.
Garth is very... He's... Because Garth is... I feel like Garth is a little goofy, though. Garth yeah. is a little bit more goofy than Andy ever was.
Oh, my God. Can't wait to meet Kevin.
Oh, when we meet Kevin on this show, count down to Kevin.
He's so... And Kevin's mom?
Linda Tran, I miss you every single fucking day.
God.
I remember watching Supernatural when it came out, and I had so many opinions on Linda Tran. And the girlies did not agree. And I was like, you guys can all shut up and die.
I will defend her with my life. Mm-hmm. Like,
period.
Because those were kind of rough ass seasons, but Kevin slayed, so.
He was the best part of that, of all of those seasons.
We keep and just talking about things just... that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with us. So Ava has summoned this thing to kill Andy, and then suddenly she like calms down and then starts to pretend to cry so that they'll come back in. And Sam runs back inside and he sees Andy's body, and she's like, oh my God, I found him this way. I went outside to like get a drink from the well and I found him like this. And Sam like sees the break in the salt and he's like, why would you go outside? You shouldn't have done that. And this salt was not broken when I was just in here, so it couldn't have been anybody but you. Can't be Andy. And because he wouldn't have done that, he knows. And he's like, you're the only one here who has 5 months unaccounted for on all that time. There's something fucking up with you. And he's like, you can control demons, can't you? And that's what you're doing against us, because you got a headache, and that's exactly when that demon got Lily. And she's like, oh, you got me. So I've been in this town the whole time, and people like you, some of the special children, have been showing up 3 or 4 at a time, and I've been just picking them off. I'm the undefeated heavyweight champ. She's girl bossing.
No, I was like, is she wrong? Yeah, but like,
but I support women's wrongs. No, women's wrongs.
The fact that this misogynistic ass yellow eyed demon was like, I need to wait for Sam or for someone else.
When she's been
Ava's bodying
ass the whole time.
No, literally, like, fuck you, dude. She could have been your chosen one. And then, honestly, all this bullshit would not have had to happen. You could have just been like, come on, girl boss, let's go. No, you needed a man to do it. Fuck you, Azazel.
It's only because Chuck is writing the story. That's the only reason.
This is Chuck's biggest sin.
Justice for Ava. So Sam was like, how could you do this? And she's like, I didn't have a choice. It was either me or them, that we had to kill each other. And she's like, you know, after a while, it became kind of easy and kind of fun. And she's like, you know, once I stopped fighting who we are. And I'm like, uh-oh, gay metaphor. Be who you are.
They're like, be who you are. Let's kill the only gay character immediately.
She's like, yeah, once you, like, open yourself up and don't feel weird about it, like, you can do all kinds of crazy shit. So, and she's like, it's over, Sam. And she tries to get a demon to attack him. And right before he gets attacked, Jake comes from behind and snaps her neck. And I'm like, damn, okay, slay, Jake. And she falls to the ground. And Sam is not, he's shocked, but he's not, like, mad at Jake or anything. He's like, okay then. And then the demon leaves. So Sam and Jake then go outside and they start walking towards the woods. And Sam's at like, okay, Ava was controlling the demons. We should be able to make it out now that she's dead. And Jake is like, so the yellow-eyed demon also came to me in a vision and told me that only one of us is getting out. And I like you, but it makes no sense for them to let it kill both of us. So I have to take your ass out. And Sam's like, no, no, we need to stick together. We cannot, like, play into his hands like this. We need to kill the demon and live. And both of them have weapons. Sam has a knife. Jake has the iron rod that he got earlier. And Sam's like, here, look, I'm going to put my knife on the ground. I'm not going to do anything. And Jake puts the rod down. But then he immediately turns on Sam and he punches him super hard. He's the one who has super strength. So he knocks Sam like 50 feet. And then he comes to hit him again. And Sam's like dodging. And he basically starts beating his ass. And then Sam hits him with like a cast iron rod and knocks him out. And there's a moment where he could kill him, but he doesn't. And he puts it down. He's like, I'm not going to be that person. This is where we need to have another conversation about Supernatural and race blind casting. Because, unfortunately, in this finale, this will not be the last time that some problematic things have occurred. Because Jake is played by a black actor. He is a black soldier. And you're like, okay, fine, whatever. However, we have had several black characters at this point, or at least one at this point. We had Gordon, whatever, who were placed in this, like, well, now he's the bad guy, sort of.
We also have Agent Henriksen.
Mother of Christ, you're right.
So it's like every black man that has been on the show that has been, like, named. Because I don't even think there have been any, like, black men who have been, like, the victims or,
in
like,
the
have been
racist the truck episode, but they were not
that is
recurring
true.
Characters.
Yeah, there were, but I don't, yeah, I think that is the only time where, like, the victim of the supernatural creature that they are hunting is black.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because it's, like, they constantly put these characters in a, like, morally gray area where the audience is meant to think of them as a villain, despite the fact that what they are doing is actually, like, it's fucked up, but it's not, like, that bad.
Yeah,
like, it's not that bad, but it's, like, it's morally gray, and it's, like, why do we keep doing this exact same thing?
It's, like, if
over
you
and over
again, if you had more black characters, maybe it wouldn't be an issue, but right now, the visual here is of Sam, the white guy, beating his ass, and you're, like, this is not a slay. And
he's beating his ass, and then it's looking at Sam like, oh my gosh, he's so merciful and nice because he didn't kill him. But compared to the cold-hearted, mean black character, like, what are we, like, doing?
I mean, at least with the quality, we also had that with Ava.
That is true.
But it's racism and misogyny, you know?
Love. No, but at least with Ava, it's like, there are so many women. Well, listen, there are a lot of women on this show. Not that they're all good characters or that they're all prominent characters, but there's a lot of women who are girl bosses. Kind of like, it's okay to have an evil, fucked up woman. And I'm certainly not saying we can't have different types of, like, black characters, but I think the problem, too, is that they always write black men into this very specific archetype.
Yeah.
Which is, like, weird in and of itself.
I will also say that what they establish in this episode, in this season finale, is that once you start using your demon powers, you can use a bunch of different ones. So ostensibly, they all would be able to have super strength or whatever. Like, there's no reason why Ava couldn't have done that if, like, she had all these other powers. And they, like, but it's specifically the black guy. Like, the black, like, why can't he control demons to go beat Sam's ass or whatever? It's specifically him who has to have, like, the strength power and be, like, physically brutal. And you're like, all of this feels very bad. And you're like, it's not meant to be on purpose. It's just race blind casting. However, it is made bad by the, like, you didn't. Anyways, the early 2000s race blind casting really is not good. It's very, this will continue into the second part of this episode, sadly. It's just a thing that, like, otherwise, this season finale is so good, but this part is so uncomfortable that Jake becomes, he's the last one standing, and Jake becomes, like, an antagonist. And yes, it's not really his fault or his choice or whatever, but you're like, mother of God, why? Yeah. So anyways, so Sam's like, okay, I'm not going to kill this guy. And he hears Bobby and Dean running. They have found him. And they're like, oh my God. And as they're running to him, and I will always remember this scene because this scene is
iconic. It's chilling.
It's iconic. Mm-hmm. It's in every Supernatural edit. Dean and Bobby are running towards Sam. And he's like, oh my God, guys, finally. And we see Jake getting up and grabbing the knife that Sam dropped earlier off the ground. And he runs up behind Sam and stabs him in the back multiple times. And Dean runs to save him and, like, drops on his knees. And he's, like, holding Dean in his arms. And this very iconic shot. And Bobby
holding
is, like,
Sam in his arms.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Dean is holding Sam in his arms. And Bobby is running after Jake, who is apparently running now. Apparently he got up from being knocked unconscious, like, super fast. Unless
he's a special boy.
At least, I think he – are they implying he's pretending? Like, I'm not sure. But – we are watching as Sam is literally dying and Dean is, like, having a fucking breakdown. He's like, no. On our death counter, we now have Dean has died once. And we now watch Sam die in Dean's arms. And now Sam has died once. This will be our first death on the board for Sam. we need a counter at this point. And, like,
the boys are tied.
Yeah. Jensen is acting his fucking ass off. And, like, it ends there and you're like, holy shit. Also not great imagery that it's like, oh yeah, it's the black guy who stabs him in the back. It's bad. It's bad. Okay? It's bad. I don't like it. Especially because otherwise it's a great episode. You're just like, stop. Anyways, that is part one.
Shits is crazy.
Ollie, will you take it away from part two?
Yeah. This one's also a shorter episode. I think it's only, like, it's, like, less than 40 minutes.
That's pretty crazy.
It's still, like, so much fucking happens. So, this is All Hell Breaks Loose, part two. This is so fucked up. We cut. Cold open. Sam is, like, on a bed that, like, if I'm not mistaken, is just, like, a mattress. Like...
yeah, it has, like, I mean, it's Bobby's house. Like, where is this?
I don't know where they're supposed to be.
Are they in that town right there?
I don't think. I think so, because they're not at Bobby's house. Like, Bobby would have a fitted sheet on his mattress, but
yeah, it looks like fucking ramshackle. I think it's just that town.
Yeah, but they're anyway. Sam is on this mattress, fucking dead. So Sam died for real, guys. Sam is dead. He's just chilling, laying there dead. Dean is sitting there watching him, just looking heartbroken. Bobby walks in with some food and he's like, hey, buddy, I brought you something to eat. And Dean's like, I said, I'm fine. I'm not hungry. And Bobby's like, okay, well, I think you need to eat. You know, I don't want you to be having an issue. Listen, I think it might be time to bury Sam. And Dean's like, no, we're not doing that. Like, he's clearly getting really angry. And Bobby's like, okay. Okay, we don't have to do that. We don't have to bury him. But there's something really big happening. Like, end of the world big. Like, please come with me to do this. Like, to go figure out what's going on. It's like, really, I think it could be, like, the end. And Dean's like, then let it end. Like, this no. is stupid. Like, I don't want to do this. I've given so much. I can't do this. And
watching this part is so hard because you're like, he's gonna have this speech and this thought so many more times, and you're like, oh, this shit fucking hurt. It number one being like, oh, I think this is the apocalypse, girl, you got a big storm coming. Second of all, the whole thing of like, I'm done, haven't I given enough thing.
Yeah,
it happens so many times and you're like, oh God, Jesus fuck Christ, oh Lord. It was very, fuck, I don't know. It was hard to watch. I'm feeling a genuine emotion about Supernatural. Fuck this.
I know. It's a tough, it's so hard to be us. But Bobby is like, you don't mean that. Like, you don't actually want things to end. I just don't think you should be left alone. You should come with me. And Dina's like, no, you know what? Like, screw you, leave. And then Bobby kind of turns to leave and Dean's like, I'm sorry, but like, go. Like, I'm not coming with you. I'm staying. So Bobby leaves. Then we cut to a campsite. It's Jake. He's escaped and he's like camping out in the woods. He's made a fire. And the yellow-eyed demon appears and is like, oh my gosh, congrats, Jake. You're the last man standing. You are the American Idol. And I'm like, wow, that was so timely.
Also, he's very like, happy Hunger Games.
For real.
It's Effie Trinket era. Can someone draw the yellow-eyed demon as Effie Trinket? Thank you.
That's fucking hilarious. The other thing too is that Jake in the previous episode, when he was talking to Sam, when he was like, listen, it makes sense that at least one of us gets out. He had mentioned that like, if I get out of here, I'm going to beat the fuck out of this demon. Like, I'm going to kill him. Someone has to get out. So if it's me, I'll kill him. So anyway, the yellow-eyed demon appears to Jake and Jake's like, okay, I did this. I did horrible things for you. I killed all those people. I will kill you. What do you want? And the demon's like, oh, that's really funny of you, Jake. You know what, though? It'd be really sad if something happened to your mom and your sweet baby sister. Wouldn't that be so sad, Jake? You're gonna do what I say, right? And Jake's like, yeah, I don't really have a choice, so okay, I'll do what you say. So, you know, it sucks because this is now putting Jake in a bit more of a sympathetic light of, like, clearly he is a man who doesn't have any other options because he how has this family. Like, he has a family that clearly is being threatened, so.
I'm on Team Jake, always.
I'm also Team Jake. If there's one thing about me, it's that I love Jake. I'm sorry, King. I'm sorry they did you like this.
Sorry to Sam, but Jake's better.
So true. Jake outsold. Sam L plus ratio plus stabbed in the back.
Wait, get good, bitch.
Mm-hmm. So then we cut back to the old abandoned house, which is just like a house where Sam is lying on this mattress. Dean is sitting there. He's looking at Sam's body. He starts talking and he's like, you remember when we were little and you were like 5 years old and you had started asking questions about like why we don't have a mom? And I told you not to ask, because I wanted to protect you and keep you safe and feel like you had a normal life because it was my responsibility. Dad didn't even have to ask me to do it. I just knew it was my job. It was what I wanted to do. And now I have fucked up that job. I'm so sorry. And I let down everyone that I love and I let you down. And he breaks down. He's like crying. It's this speech.
Jensen Ackles, number one, he is acting his fucking ass off, and number two, considering the way that he ends his life being like, I sacrificed my life after many times doing the same thing for Sam, and like the whole point of what Bobby says later also is that like your fucked up idea that like, oh, Sam is your responsibility and that's all you're good for in life. The way that they confirmed that in the finale to be like, and yeah, and that's all he's good for in life. I was like, go kill yourself. Because that from moments like this onward, the whole point is that he thinks he's not worth anything other than to be a protector. Also to try to redeem John Winchester a little bit to be like, no, it wasn't John's idea to like make him always be his brother's keeper. Like he put that shit on himself. But
it's still like, girl, You should have known. You should have done something about your son.
Like, this conversation of Dean's self-loathing, it's got to be, like, top 10 fucking supernatural moments. It is.
Yeah. I'm going to read basically the exact quote at the end of Dean's little monologue. And he's like, it's like I had one job. I had one job and I screwed it up. I blew it. And for that, I'm sorry. I guess that's what I do. I let down the people I love. You know, I let Dad down. And now I guess I'm just supposed to let you down too. How can I? How am I supposed to live with that? What am I supposed to do, Sammy? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And he's like screaming. It's so... just like talking to Sam's dead body. There's one thing about Jensen. It's that he's going to give a kick-ass monologue.
Yeah. He's going to pop his entire pussy with that because, yeah, and he like yells And then he, like, immediately, mm-hmm. like, gets in the car or whatever. But I'm, like,
yeah,
even knowing that, like, something like this is going to keep happening over and over with these two, like, the setup of, like, that they're always going to just sacrifice back and forth and toss the fucking dodgeball back and forth mm-hmm. is so...
Yeah,
I fear. It's rough. Also, the way that I always think about Castiel and his final speech to Dean being like, you don't think that you are a good person and that you are a failure, even though there's all these people who have been saved and been affected by you, whatever. The way that that was what I was thinking about during this. Sickening. Sickening.
It's so, guys, this is so dark. It's so dark how much I'm like enjoying this right now. How much I'm enjoying this show.
It's so dark.
So Deed has this little speech and like basically immediately he finishes his speech and then he composes himself and runs out to the Impala and he gets in the car and he's driving like a maniac and we see him pull out a box and there's like a picture of him and like a fake ID that he has and he puts a bunch of other items in this box and then he goes to the middle of an intersection and as we zoom out we realize that he's at a crossroads and he summons a crossroads demon. She appears and she's like, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd see you. And he's like, okay, I don't give a fuck. I want to make a deal to bring Sam back and then you can come take my soul in 10 years. And she's like, I actually really like seeing you in pain because you're like really sad and like fucked up right now. That's hilarious.
She's like, oh, look at my poor little meow meow. He's so pathetic.
No, she's literally like, hee hee hee. And Dean's like, please, like, you know, like 9 years. And she's like, no, I'm not interested. And he's like, okay, 8 years. And she's like, no. And he's like, please, like, I will do anything. And she's like, okay. And he's like, 5 years or no deal. And she's like, okay, fine, no deal. And she goes to leave. And Dean's like, okay, wait, what do I have to do? And she's like, I will bring your brother back. And you get 1 year to live. And Dean's like, I don't know. And she's like, listen, if you try to get out of it, things that have been granted can be taken. So Sam will just drop dead.
She also is like, and this is a better deal than your father got, which is he immediately drops dead.
Yeah.
Or like drops dead after like.
Like 20 seconds.
20 minutes. Like, whatever. Yeah. Gets to say goodbye and then drops dead or whatever.
Yeah.
She also says, though, when she's like, hey, I'm not supposed to do this, but you're kind of fucked up and crazy, and I'm a demon, and I think that's funny. So mm-hmm. I'm going to let you ruin your life because I think that's fun to watch.
Yeah, she's slay. I hate to say it.
It's God's self-insert character. Chuck is like,
So Dean's like, fuck it, fine. And he kisses her because that's how you seal the deal.
I'm still thinking about John Winchester and the yellow ID.
I know. I had that exact same thought. I was like, oh, he definitely was macking on Azazel. So then we cut back to this abandoned house and Sam wakes up. He opens his eyes and he starts gasping and he's clearly in pain and he goes over and looks in the mirror and tries to look at his back and he realizes like there's not really a wound, like it's all healed over, and he's like, what the fuck? He's all confused. Then Dean runs in and sees Sam and he like runs up and gives him a hug, and Sam's like, what happened? I swear to God, I got like hurt really bad. And Dean's like, no, you were stabbed in the back, but Bobby got you patched up. And he's like, Dean, you could not, like, this is, that didn't seem like a wound that you can just get patched up from. And Dean's like, no, Bobby's really good, don't worry.
And Dean's gaslighting behavior in this episode mm-hmm. is so dark.
Yeah. And Sam is clearly like, okay, all right, okay, whatever. And he's like, okay, well, did you catch the guy? His name is Jake. He was the one who attacked me. And Dean is like, no, we didn't get him. He got away, but Bobby's chasing after him. So, yeah. And then Sam and Dean kind of get something to eat, and Sam tells him everything that happened in the little town in Cold Oak and that the demon only wanted one special kid. And he's like, I just don't understand why Jake and I are both still alive. Like, that's two kids. There's only supposed to be one. And Dean's like, oh, well, you basically were dead. You know, he left you for dead. And Sam's like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure. We need to figure out what the demon wants this special kid for, and we need to stop him. And Dean is like, okay, Sam, I love that, but you need to rest. And Sam is like, no, 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 we should call the Roadhouse. And Dean's like, well,
I've got terrible news, love.
No, we cannot. It did get burned to the ground because of something Ash found that he couldn't tell me over the phone. Bobby is trying to figure that out right now. And Sam's like, okay, well, then let's go to Bobby. Let's go to Bobby's house. And Dean's like, I think you should take care of yourself a little more. And he's like, no, 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 we gotta go. And then we get the craziest scene of they knock on Bobby's door, and Bobby's opens. Got
the poker face of the fucking century.
No, Bobby's, God, he is the MVP forever and always. But Bobby opens the door and he sees Sam and just like does not say anything.
Not even a reaction on his face.
He does not freak out. He's clearly like, bitch, what the fuck? But Sam is like, kind of notices but doesn't really say anything, and he's like, oh well, thanks for patching me up, Bobby. And Bobby's like, and Dean's like, can you just like show us what you found? And Bobby's like, yeah, this is what's really crazy, is there's this place where like all these demonic omens have been happening, like they've just skyrocketed in this one area, except for this one place like in the center. But he's like, it's really weird, there's all this activity, but for some reason this one place in southern Wyoming is completely clean, and like it's like demons are surrounding it but can't get in. Maybe Sam, can you take a look? Dean, why don't you come out and help me grab some more books? Clearly being like, okay, Dean, come on, little bitch, we have to talk.
It's very funny.
Yeah, and Sam's like, yeah, sure, I can take a look. And they go outside. This scene's so fucked up. This scene, like, Bobby loves these boys so much. It's insane.
I thought about this scene watching the series finale. Like,
it's such a good fucking scene. Jim Beaver is so fucking slay. It's insane. But they go outside. They're out in, like, the salvage yard. And Bobby is like, oh my God, stupid ass, what did you do? Like, what have you done? Sam was fucking dead. He got stabbed through the spinal cord. Clearly you did something. And he's furious at Dean. But it's obvious that he's furious because he cares so much about Dean. Like, he thinks of him like his own son. Like, it's clear that he's like, I'm so worried about you right now, you dumb fuck. And Dean's like, okay, yeah, I made a deal at a crossroads. But I don't know why it matters. Like, I shouldn't even be alive after that car crash. Like, after the car crash from the end of season one. And Bobby is like, are you serious? Like, what do you mean? And Dean's like, well, like, the point of my life is to protect Sam. Like, that's my job. And Bobby's like, you really have such low self-worth that you think your life has no meaning if you can't protect Sam? If you can't protect people? Dean, your life has, like, intrinsic meaning. Like, that's basically the point. He doesn't say it in those exact words, but he's explaining to Dean that his life has meaning regardless of who he can save. And Bobby goes from being kind of frustrated to just looking really sad, and he puts his hand on the side of Dean's face, like cradles his head, and is like, you, oh wow. And Dean's like, please don't tell Sam, just please don't tell him.
No, and he's like, how many years did you give? And you're like, oh.
No, Bobby's like cradling Dean's face and he's like, how many years did you get? And Dean's like, I don't know why it matters. He's like, how many years did you get? And he's like, one. And Bobby just looks fucking heartbroken. Like, it's so fucked up and sad. This scene is so.
And the thing that I texted Ollie was this. I was like, there are really only two people on this show. Correct me if I'm wrong, there might be others, but basically two people who are like, Dean, you are more than just either being your brother's keeper or helping other people. The first person is Bobby. The second person is Castiel.
No,
who says it multiple times. The first time he ever meets Teen, he says something very similar. The love that Bobby has for him, he says something very similar. Or he's like, oh, you don't think you deserve to be saved? Like, you don't think you're inherently, like, worthy of, like, love and like, you know, and life like everybody else?
Yeah.
It's
so fucked. I feel sick. I just also think, too, is, like, Dean has just gone on this whole monologue and all this stuff about how he's like, my life is worth nothing. And I'm just thinking about, like, first of all, fuck you, John Winchester. But second of all, just thinking about Bobby being, like, the first person to tell him that, and Bobby realizing that he's the first person to tell him that, and just being sickening. Like, I've failed these fucking kids. It's so, ugh. Anyway, Dean is like, Bobby, please don't tell Sam. And Bobby looks like he's about to respond, and then there's a noise in the yard, and they both turn around in, like, a defensive stance, and then Ellen appears, and she looks worse for wear.
I wonder, did she hear that conversation? Because
I have to assume not, because, like, she was still a distance away from them. I like the idea that she was like, oh, there's some tea. I'm not gonna make any noises yet. I just want to see where this bad boy goes. Anyway, so then it cuts. They're back in Bobby's house, and Ellen is sitting at the table, and a shot glass slides over to her, and she's like, Bobby, really, holy water? And he's like, listen, it's just for safety. And she's like, yeah, it's fine. So she knocks it back, and she's fine. And then she shoots the shot glass back across the table to him, and she's like, now can I get some whiskey? And Bobby gives it to her. And Dean's like, well, what happened at the Roadhouse? And she's like, well, it was really crazy. The only reason I wasn't there was because we ran out of pretzels and I had to go get some. And then Ash called me and told me that there was a problem and that there was a fire, but that I needed to go look in the safe. And by the time I got back, everything was ablaze and everyone was dead. And they're like, oh God, that sucks ass. Did you get to the safe though? And she's like, I did get to the safe. It was in the basement. And that was fucked up to get to. Anyway, I got it. And there's a map of Wyoming. So they put this map out on the table. And they notice that there are marks on this map. And Bobby is like, okay, wait a minute. These are all, like, frontier churches. And they were all built by none other than Samuel Colt. Which is crazy. Like, the gun guy, Samuel Colt. Real historical figure. And they're like, Sam and Dean are both like, girl, are you for real? And he's like, yeah. And what's also crazy is that Samuel Colt had these private railways that connected each church. And look at what happens. And he draws, like, he traces where all the iron railway lines are. And it makes the shape of, like, a star. And we realize that it's a big devil's trap. And Sam and Dean are like, oh my God, that's genius. And he's like, yeah, demons can't cross the iron lines. And if they get in, they're trapped. Like, they can't get in. It's impossible.
Samuel Colt, your mind was huge.
No, literally, he was fucking crazy.
Where is the Supernatural prequel about him, man?
No, literally, fuck the Winchesters. But they're like, well, okay, so that's crazy. And Bobby's like, yeah, in the middle of this devil's trap, there's an old, like, cowboy cemetery. And Sam's like, well, I wonder what he was trying to protect. And Dean's like, well, maybe he wasn't trying to protect anything. Maybe he was trying to keep something in. And Sam is like, Bobby, if the demons could get inside this trap, like, what would happen? And Bobby's like, well, no full-blooded demon would be able to. And Sam's like, girl, I know who could. And then we cut and we see Jake driving up to the edge of this railroad, and the yellow-eyed demon is there. And the demon is like, Jake, 15 miles from here is a cemetery and a crypt. You need to open this crypt because I can't go there myself. And Jake's like, girl, no, I'll fucking kill you. I don't want to do that. And the demon's like, okay, well, listen, please. And Jake's like, okay, fine. And then the demon is like, here, this is the Colt. You need this. It's a key to opening this crypt. And it's also the only gun that can kill me. And he hands it to Jake. And it's the same Colt that we saw earlier in the show that John gave to the yellow-eyed demon to save Dean.
I also want to pause it here. It's been like hundreds of years since this railroad has been built, and you're going to tell me that they're still pristine enough that there's no break in the Devil's Trap?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah. Who's maintaining it? I want to know. Was it the Men of Letters? Oh, I've connected the dots.
Wait, yo. And then, now that's why it's so fucked up now, is because all the Men of Letters in the United States are gone.
They got Order 66 by Abaddon.
Exactly.
Oh, and that's, oh.
See, the that's connections, why it's...
We're making the lore backwards, but also...
We are right. This is fan fiction, I think.
A spoiler alert for later in the episode is that there's a hell's trap in... Not a hell's trap. A portal to hell, basically, in there. And he has to use that to open it. And I'm just like, okay, but who built it? And why is it there in the first place? Why did Samuel Colt build it?
No, I think we know.
Is it ever explained?
I think it was just there.
It's just a like, natural I think it was just phenomenon? A portal.
Yeah, I think so.
I got questions. Oh my god, what if in the Winchester season finale that's they accidentally create the portal to hell? Wait, that doesn't make any sense because that's after. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. But he's like, this is the only gun that can kill me. And he gives it to Jake. And Jake's like, okay. And he points the gun at the demon because he's like, girl, you're fucking stupid. I'm gonna shoot you. And the demon's like, oh my god, that's so funny. I did not foresee this happening. That's crazy. He's being sarcastic. He's clearly like, yeah, no fucking shit, you're gonna do this. And he's like, okay, Jake, well, like, you can shoot me. But, like, what are you gonna do? Like, you're technically, like, you disappeared from the military. Like, you're a deserter. So that's fucked up. And, you know, like, I might just be one guy, but, like, there's lots of other bullshit happening out there. Like, I guess you could find some job and try to live a normal life, but I don't know if that's really gonna happen for you, buddy. However, you and your family will be well taken care of if you do this for me. And Jake's like, okay, well, how the fuck are you gonna do that? You're just some guy. And he's like, well, I'm trying to make a better world. And you and your family will basically be royalty. Like, you'll have money, you'll have comfort, you'll have anything you could ever want. And Jake clearly is conflicted, but agrees to do it.
Wow. It's a metaphor for how the military recruits.
No, literally. I feel so bad for Jake because he's actually such an interesting character. I would have loved to get to know him more.
I know, right? I was like, damn. He really said, I mean, I could threaten you with death, but I could also threaten you with capitalism. And he went, yep, okay.
I know which one I'm picking, okay.
Because I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. So, we cut to the cemetery. It's night. Jake is walking through these graves, and he sees the crypt, and he starts going towards it. And then Sam is like, yeah, I don't think so, Jake. And Jake turns around, and Dean, Sam, Ellen, and Bobby have, like, appeared circling him. And they all have guns pulled on him. And Jake looks at Sam, and he's like, you were dead. I cut through your spinal cord. You should be dead. How are you alive? And Sam clearly is shocked and, like, unnerved by that, because he did not realize the extent of his injuries. And Jake kind of laughs, like he's not worried. And he's like, hey, sweetheart, to Ellen. He's like, why don't you put your gun to your head? You know? And his pupils kind of flash a little bit when he does this. And Ellen starts putting her gun to her head. And he's like, well, guys, you know, once you give in to your abilities, there are a lot of tricks that you can do. And I learned how to do this, just like Andy could. You should all put your guns down now. And then Dean and Bobby both put their guns down. And he's like, except for you, girly pop. And Ellen keeps the gun up to her head. And then he turns and puts the Colt into this, like, rotating lock that's on this crypt. And Sam gets his gun and shoots Jake. And Jake falls. And then the lock starts opening. And Bobby's like, oh, fuck. That's a hell gate.
Well, okay. So, and it's actually Ellen who recognized it. I'm like,
that's okay. That's
like, how do you guys know what the fuck a hell gate looks like if you didn't know what it was before? Again, this is a whole thing. I do have to also take a moment to say, this is our second moment of not slaying in race blind casting, because yes, this piece is also sort of foreshadowing for what is occurring to Sam later. Sam shoots him like several times.
He shoots Jake. Jake falls. Sam shoots him like three more times when he's on the ground.
Yeah, they're like,
and he has this like cold look in his eyes.
And you're like, oh, okay. Like, the scene starts with like five white people with guns ambushing one black guy. Obviously, we know he's more powerful than them at this point, but still, the optics are not good.
It's one of those things that, like,
yeah,
in context, it makes sense, but the optics of it are so god awful.
Yeah, and then like, it ends with Sam shooting him an insane amount of times in the back. Like, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, in the back too. Like he had turned around and was facing the, like, he'd already done it. He'd already put the Colt in the lock.
Like, he could have shot him like once, and it's like,
yeah,
like Sam is a good marksman. No. I mean, we'll get to why he does that in a bit.
There is a reason that Sam does it, but it's still just like, guys, what are we doing?
It's very cringe. You're like, oh, I don't love this. But then, all hell breaks loose, literally.
Yeah,
literally.
So. Anyway.
Oh, wait, that's the name of the episode.
Mm-hmm. So then Ellen is like, oh my god, guys, it's a hellgate. And Bobby is like, oh, we're so fucked. It's like a literal portal to hell. And Dean's like, okay, cool. He tries to tug the Colt out of the spinning lock. And like, he grabs it, but it's too late. Everything's already in action. There's a bunch of like spirits and like ghostly figures flying at 100 miles an hour out of this crypt. And we see, and it looks like just like a tunnel down inside the crypt. And we see the iron train lines being broken by the force of all, like just by some force. And all these demons are like leaving the cemetery. And then we see Bobby, Ellen, and Sam.
That is a part I don't what they're implying here is that if you use the Colt, that it turns off the larger devil's trap.
I think so.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would he make it do that?
I don't know, but it looked cool.
Yeah, it looked neat.
It looked neat, so it's okay. It's supernatural. Don't think too hard.
That should be our motto on this show.
Yeah. But Bobby, Ellen, and Sam are trying to like close this gate. Like, they're pushing on it closed, but there's all these demons like flying out, pushing it back open. And Dean turns and sees the yellow-eyed demon and levels the Colt at him and tries to shoot him, but the demon pulls the gun away using some powers and, like, it flies into his hand. And then he throws Dean into a headstone and pins him there, and Dean whacks his head open on it. He's fine. He's not, like, passed out, but it clearly hurted. And Sam runs to see what's happening, and the demon pins him to a tree. And then the demon is like, you know, Dean, I knew I kept you around for a reason. I'm really happy you brought Sam back, because Sam is my favorite. I really knew it was going to be him in the end. And you
again, what was wrong with Ava and Jake? What was wrong with them?
Misogynist.
Yeah, misogynist and racist. Mm-hmm. Fuck the yellow-eyed
demon.
Fuck you.
But he's like, listen. Sam is clearly, like, a little confused. Like, he's looking at Dean like, girl, what the fuck? And he's like, you know, demons can't resurrect someone unless a deal was made. You know, I know the red tape, it'll make you nuts. But you know, Dean, that deal may not have been as good as it seemed. Did you see how cold-blooded Sam just was when he shot Jake? Aww. Well, you know, maybe it's not all Sam that got brought back. Who's to say? And then the demon pulls up the Colt and aims at Dean, and goes to shoot him. And then who the fuck appears to save the day but fucking John Winchester's spirit, who emerged from hell.
This is his one slave moment.
No, he literally shows up and, like, body slams him. Like, he grabs him from behind and, like, is beating the fuck out of him. And the demon, like, overpowers John and is, like, they're fighting. They're in a scrap. But Dean, who's, like, no longer being pushed against his headstone by this force, shuffles over and grabs the colt from the ground where the demon dropped it. And Dean's like, hey, you stupid fuck, and shoots the demon in the heart. And then we see the demon, like, go through this little transformation almost, and it dies, and it fucking is dead. So Slay, with the last bullet, the yellow-eyed demon's fucking dead. Happy season two, everyone.
We did it, Tro.
So the demon drops to the ground, and then we see behind them Bobby and Ellen have finally managed to close this gate. And then they all turn and look at John's spirit. And John, who is glowing in yellow light, walks over and places a hand on Dean's shoulder, clearly being like, you did good, kid. Girl, fuck you. I know he probably does not know about the demon deal, but, like, fuck you. He then looks over to Sam and kind of nods, like, love you, kid. And he has tears in his eyes. And then he vanishes in this bright light. And then the brothers and Bobby and Ellen kind of look over at the demon's body. And Sam is like, Dean, do you think Dad really climbed out of hell? And Dean's like, well, the door was open. And if there's one thing about him, it's that he's a stubborn bitch. And Sam's
kind of funny, that part.
No, it's so true. And Sam's like, I can't believe it's over. Like, I don't even know what to say. We killed the yellow-eyed demon. And Dean's like, you know what? I know exactly what to say. And he kneels down and gets in, like, the demon, the dead body of the host of the demon. He gets in his face and he says, that was for our mom, you son of a bitch. It's an epic Slay moment from Dean.
I really wish that he had been allowed to be like, fuck you, bitch.
No, literally. Then we cut. It's a little bit later, so it's the day. The boys are standing in front of the Impala, and Sam's like, listen, Dean, Jake looked like he had seen a ghost when he saw me. Did I die? And Dean's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And Sam's like, be real with me. Did you make a deal? And Dean, like, doesn't say anything. But it's clearly, like, he's like, yeah, I did. But he just doesn't respond. And Sam's like, you shouldn't have done that. Like, you really should not have done that. And Dean's like, well, it's my job. It's my job to protect you. That's what I do. And Sam's like, it's my job to protect you. Like, you're my brother. You think I wouldn't have done all of the things you did for me? Like, abso-fucking-lutely I would. Which sets up the fact that these two boys sacrifice themselves for each other for 15 seasons, constantly.
To the point where bitches around them are, like, joking about it. They're like, yeah, oh, like, not these assholes again.
No, literally. But it's this very sweet scene. Very melancholy. And Dean kind of smiles and offers, like, a quiet kind of, like, yeah, yeah, okay. But clearly it's like, yeah. And Sam's like, well, how long do you have? And Dean's like, a year. And Sam is like, oh my god, okay. Well, okay, we're gonna make the best of it. It's gonna be fine. We'll figure it out. Then Bobby and Ellen walk up, and Ellen's like, well, a lot of demons escaped through that gate. Like, at least, like, how much do you figure? And Sam's like, 200 maybe? I'm like, girl, how did you get that estimate?
Literally, I was like, huh? They were just like, no. Black shapes in the air.
No, literally, I was like, girl, you're a stupid ass. Anyway, Sam's like, it's literally like an army, like Hell's army. And Bobby's like, yeah, I hope you guys are ready because the war has just begun. And Dean tosses in the colt and he's like, we've got work to do. And the scene fades to black, which is like a mirror to the pilot episode. And that's it.
You're like, damn, okay, like, I think I don't know if they knew they were going to get more episodes or whatever, but they, like, tied it up with a bow there or whatever, but they didn't, like, tease for anything later. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did kind of, where they were like, well, there's something wrong with Sam. that ending is so, also because this is the season finale, at the beginning we have the road so far. If you didn't already know, we have in the season finale of every single season, for some reason on Netflix, they don't have it for the first season. They swapped it out because they didn't have the rights or some shit. But they, it was for every single season, where at the beginning of each episode, they go like then, and then they go now. Like they do a then for the recap, and then they do now for the like the episode. But then at the end of the season, they do the road so far, and they'll do a little montage. They did it at the beginning of episode, the first part of the this finale, and it's not Carry On Wayward Son. And then the second part is Carry On Wayward Son. And I thought this montage was very funny because it had a lot of the like random moments of Dean and Sam with women in it to be like, yeah, remember when they were fucking bitches and getting money? And you're like, how is this relevant?
It's also like they didn't really do that a lot. It's like they did it like maybe once, both of them this whole season.
They had to be like, yeah, they like women. And you're like, okay, all right, all right, okay. But yeah, the Carry On Wayward Son is so iconic. And then at the end, they do the we got work to do. And you're like, this is so iconic. Like, the only thing that really hits like this is probably the season 3 finale and season 4 opener.
Oh, guys, the season 3 finale, when we get to season 4, it's going to be fucking over. We are going to become the most annoying people alive.
I feel like every episode we're going to be like, hi, today.
The countdown, guys, the countdown has begun. We have T-minus one season until Cass.
The Castiel countdown is about to begin. Like, and our listeners right now are probably like, you talk about Castiel every fucking episode.
I feel like we're measuring like seasons 1 through 3 of Supernatural or BC before Cass. Yes. So like, it's like, whatever. I'm like, whatever. I really enjoy them, whatever, but I'm waiting for him to appear. Anyway.
Okay, it's BC and AD. So it's before Castiel and after Destiel. And then, yeah, and then there's BCE, which is before Castiel emerges. And then CE, Castiel enters.
There's so much happening. I want to talk about season 2.
Anyways, so we have reached the end of the iconic season 2. How would we like to send this motherfucker off?
You were good while you lasted. Like, oh. I feel like it sucks because I'm so excited to get to the things that are to come, but I'm also dreading the fact that we are going to enter when Supernatural is not good.
Because
like right now, like,
so toxic when that happens.
Because here's the problem. I feel like people who are listening might think like, oh, this is when it's not good because we talk shit about it all the time. But like, we're kind of nitpicking. Like, overall, these episodes are pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's so bad that I'm really worried for what it's going to be like when we get to episodes we don't like.
It's going to get dark as hell. Although, yeah. I will say, also, this episode has a very funny quote in it where Jake's like, go to hell. And Azazel's like, been there, done that. Yeah. And I think that's very funny. I think that's the best part of the episode. It's... Yeah, the problem with watching these season finales is also that, like, you're like, damn. When this show hit, it hit. It hit. And then when it and then you're reminded when it doesn't hit, and you're like, oh. And also, knowing the series finale, I'm like, it wasn't like our bar wasn't high, because there are some season finales on this show, even in the later seasons, that slap incredibly hard. So for them to fumble the bag so thoroughly on the series finale.
It's sickening. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. When you had John Winchester crawling his ass out of hell to beat Azazel over the head.
And it's like, bitch, I don't even like this John Winchester, but I was like hooting and hollering, being like, yes, yes, bitch, slay.
It's like, horrible. Worst person you know is right.
No, literally. I hate that. I hate how much, I also hate how much the Winchesters has made me root for John. So I'm like, this John obviously sucks, but I'm like, but he's John.
That's John Prime.
Like, no, literally, John Prime. Cringe flop John Prime versus Chad. John Alpha. I don't know what the fuck I'm even talking about anymore. We need to end it.
Anyways, now, okay, there's an error. During the battle, the Colt is cocked three different times without any sign that either Dean or Azazel uncocked it. I read that as uncooked.
It's a spicy Colt.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
That's literally John. He's like, wait a minute. Let him cook.
Let him cook. Yeah, it's also just interesting looking at this season too, because you're like, they try to make it seem like, oh, it was Azazel who was, it was Agatha all along, when really, horrible news, love, Azazel was just working in the service of someone else.
Yeah, well, that's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler.
Because if you're listening to Mystery Spotcast, obviously you're really worried about spoilers.
Every day we talk about Lazarus Rising in the finale.
No, literally.
I think it's fun, more fun with spoilers. Anyways, thank you for listening through now two seasons of Supernatural. My God, we did it, Joe.
You guys are really, like, the MVPs, because this is fucking crazy. Like, I cannot, I will say I really do appreciate, and I know we both do, everyone who has listened up to this point, everyone who has supported us, everyone who has stuck through this.
Oh my God.
God bless you. You are stronger than I.
Yeah, I don't even know how we're doing this. Oh, we're doing it for y'all's entertainment. We also are getting through Supernatural a lot slower because we have to talk about the fucking Winchesters. So once we talk about the season finale, we'll be back to our brisk fucking clip through this show. Especially because season three is a lot shorter than the other seasons.
Yeah, so season three is only 16 episodes, which is only 8 episodes in the Mystery Spotcast until we can talk about.
Yeah.
Until Cass arrives.
Cassio countdown begins. We are in BCE. But anyway, thank you for listening. For more Cursed Supernatural content, Winchester's memes, follow us on the social media at Mystery Spotcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, since Twitter is still falling apart. We also have Tumblr at the Mystery Spotcast. You can also ask us Cursed Supernatural or other questions, especially if you're listening and you don't know anything about Supernatural and random things that we said, feel free to ask. We will answer. I think that's, it's way funnier to consume Supernatural in that manner. You can ask us questions in our TikTok Q&A or in our Tumblr ask box, or by emailing us at themysteriespotcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed listening to us suffer, and in this case, sort of enjoy ourselves, please rate the show. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, Overcast, whatever app you use that allows for a rating and a review. Please do it if you haven't already. Also, tell one friend. Just tell one friend, like an MLM. If you want to hear more from us, we are also two of the co-hosts of RuPaul's Pod Race, a queer Star Wars podcast where we are covering The Mandalorian week to week right now. So it's very fun and very slay. And we will see you two Tuesdays from now for more slaying people, queer baiting things, the supernatural business.